Folks, serving Christ is not a mystery. If you have a speaking gift, speak God's word. If you have a serving gift, serve Christ. Step out in His power and strength and do what He calls you to do. And when you stand before Him because of what He has done, you could say, Lord, You entrusted this to me.
Thanks for joining us for this weekend edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And our teacher is Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church. And Greg, today we'll finish our look at the parable of the faithful and unfaithful stewards. And this story is often used to talk about how we are to handle our money.
And Dave, indeed it is, and it does have an application there. But as we're going to see, the Lord gave us this parable for so much more than just our finances. Indeed, it's a life lesson for all of us. Our text is Matthew chapter 25, and we're going to be looking at verses 14 to 30. So if you have a Bible handy, I'd invite you to turn there as we begin.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, today's message is one you'll want to share with a friend. Just tell them to visit etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. They'll find today's broadcast as well as a host of other archived broadcasts waiting there for them. Our web address, again, is simply etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
Enter into the joy of your master. There's a real relationship. And the one also who had received the one talent came up and said, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, gathering where you'd scattered no seed. And I was afraid, and I went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours. But his master answered and said to him, You wicked, lazy slave. You knew that I reap where I do not sow and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have put my money in the bank. On my arrival, I would have received my money back with interest. Therefore, take away the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has shall more be given, and he shall have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away. And cast out the worthless slave into outer darkness, into the place where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's at this point the parable morphs into reality. It morphs into reality. It goes from a parable to the reality of the accounting that we will face as stewards of what God has entrusted us to do in this short time while we are on the earth. First of all, notice the master's evaluation of those who are good and faithful. Verse 19, now after a long time, this is representing Christ who has been gone for a long time. He will come again in glory. It's representing that of the slaves came and settled accounts with them. There's a settling of accounts. There was an expectation of stewardship for what they would do according to the abilities given to them. It's a kingdom parable. The Lord will come and he will settle accounts, by the way. For those of us in the church age, he will come for us, true believers. Or when we die, we will stand before him. And for those in the tribulation, he will come again. And he will settle accounts, as we will see next week when we finish chapter 25. Remember, this parable speaks of his coming. Verse 19, now after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. The day will come when Jesus comes back and settles accounts. He will reward us. If you are in him, he will reward you either, as we will see, with more responsibility based on your faithfulness and dependence in him, or he will reward you with judgment based on the fact you don't really know him. Notice he's going to settle accounts. Verse 20, notice what happens. And the one who had received 5 talents came up and brought 5 more talents. The first slave brings him 5 more talents. And notice he is excited to show his master what he has done. Look at this. Saying, Master, you entrusted 5 talents to me. See, I have gained 5 more talents. In this parable, he knew exactly what he was to do according to the ability that he had. He knew exactly what was required of him. There was no mystery for the slave. He was not afraid. He knew exactly what his master expected from him. And folks, our gifting is not a mystery. Serving Christ is not a mystery. If you have a speaking gift, speak God's word. If you have a serving gift, serve Christ. Just do it. Step out in his power and strength and do what he calls you to do. And when you stand before him because of what he has done, you could say, Lord, you entrusted this to me. Look what you have done through me. So notice back in the parable, the one with the two talents, the exact same language. Verse 22, the one also who had received two talents came up and said, Master, you entrusted to me two talents. See or look, behold, I have gained two more talents. The account given by these first slaves reveals their true nature, doesn't it? It reveals their true relationship. They're about their master's business. They want to do their master's business. They're happy about it. They're not afraid to show what has happened when they are held to an account. They're not fearing the master in this sense. Notice the master's joyous response. Verse 21. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful slave. This is an affirmation of their nature and character. Good and faithful. Matthew 19:17, there is only one who is good but God. It's God who is good. He gives them their well done based on the character of himself. Well done, good and faithful. Only God is good. Only God is faithful. And only we can be good and faithful when we are trusting in the living God and allowing him to function through us. It's his nature manifest in us. Well done, good and faithful slave. Genuinely changed behavior, a true relationship. He says the exact same thing to the other slave. In verse 23, his master said to him, Well done, good and faithful slave. And notice how he evaluates their behavior. Verse 21, middle of it. You were faithful with a few things. It wasn't a lot, it was a few things. You were faithful. What's faithfulness? It's the manifestation of the character of Christ. Great is his faithfulness. It is trustworthiness. It is doing what he calls you to do. It is being truthful and right and diligent in those things that God has called us to do. Well done, thou good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. And notice what he says. I will put you in charge of many things. God gave us the gifts that he's given us, the opportunities, and he empowers us, differing levels, differing people. We're not the same. None of us have the same exact giftings. None of us have the exact same opportunities. There are differing levels. But he says, you are faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. It's a kingdom parable. This is when Christ comes and they go into the kingdom. He's giving them kingdom responsibility because of their faithfulness during this time. And yes, in heaven, if you're a true believer, there will be no sin, there will be no pride, there will be no sorrow, no tears, but yet there will be differing amounts of responsibility forever based on what we do now, depending on Christ. It's very important what you do now. I will put you in charge of many things. We see in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that there is a judgment seat, that we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body. God doesn't miss a beat. And if you are and have a changed heart, God is going to reward you. He is not unjust, as we see in Hebrews 6:10, to forget your work and the love which you have shown towards his name, having ministered and still ministering to the saints. It's serving the body of Christ. Are you a good and faithful slave? I would say if you're not around, you're not a good and faithful slave, because you can't serve the body of Christ not being around. And this is a wake-up call for some of you that think you're saved, that maybe you aren't, and you need to examine yourselves. And notice the last portion of this joyous response, the end of verse 21, the end of verse 23. Enter into the joy of your master. You see, in this parable, it was speaking of probably come to a great joyous banquet. But in reality, it's speaking of that eternal joy that we will enter into after we have come before Christ and have been judged for our deeds on this earth as believers, whether good or bad. Enter into the joy of your master. We certainly have right now in the kingdom righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Yes, we do. We have joy in Christ, but this is joy fulfilled forever. Psalm 16, verse 11, Thou wilt make known to me the path of life, David writes. In thy presence is fullness of joy. In thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. Enter into the joy of your master. There's sorrow, there's hardship, there's terrible things happening now because of sin. That day will be done, and we will enter into the joy of our master. Praise the Lord. Now the Lord gives the one with five and the one with two his accommodation based on their faithfulness to what he had asked them to do. What has Christ asked you to do in his word? Do you know his word? We need to know God's word. Yet we don't run out and start serving him by our own strength. Apart from Christ, we can do nothing. John chapter 15. It is only when we abide in Christ and his word in us that the life of Christ is manifest in us. You can't be good and faithful apart from trusting in a good and faithful God. It is Christ through you. And the things that you do, abiding in Christ, trusting in him, obeying his word, he will reward you for. And it will be an eternal reward. Now at this point, some of you are saying, I'm not good and faithful. It's a wake-up call for you, because we're going to see the third slave here is identified with those who are going to hell. Take a look at verse 24. And the one also who had received the one talent came up and said, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. And I was afraid, and I went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours. But his master answered and said to him, You wicked, lazy slave, you knew that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have put my money in the bank, and upon my arrival I would have received my money back with interest. Therefore, take away from him the talent and give it to the one who has 10 talents. And we see in a moment there is eternal punishment. It morphs into the reality of eternal punishment for those who are still in their sins. Right away, we see this slave's account reveals his true nature. He is giving excuses, and he has a wrong and evil view of his master. Notice what he says in verse 24, and the one who received the one talent came and said, Master, I knew you to be a hard man. What a totally different picture from the other ones. Look at what I've done, Lord. Enter into the joy of your master. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. This is totally different. Master, I knew you to be a hard man. The term means harsh or difficult. This statement, even in the parable, is untrue. This master had graciously given them responsibilities according to their abilities. He wasn't harsh at all. He didn't ask them to do anything that they couldn't do. He says, you're a harsh, hard man. This is untrue. This is not true. He's basically accusing the master also of being a dishonest businessman. Notice what he says. And I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you'd scattered no seed. He's saying, basically, you rip people off. That's not true either. Because the master gave them his money. He invested his money to make money. He was sowing his own money to make money. That's not true. He's accusing him of being dishonest. He does not see him right. He has a false and wrong view of his master. And so what does he do? And I was afraid, and I went away and hid your talent in the ground. Excuses, excuses, excuses. You have what is yours. These excuses reveal this lazy slave went about his own business rather than the master's business. The other ones were about the master's business. That was their heart. His part was not to do it. Here we see excuses for his irresponsibility and lack of diligence. It's not my fault. It's because you are merciless and dishonest that I hid it, because I was afraid. Folks, when you don't know Christ, you've got all kinds of excuses. Well, it was my upbringing. That's why I have this situation. That's why I can't serve the Lord. This is why I can't. It's this. It's the spouse I have. Whatever it is. It's the circumstance you allowed in my life, Lord. It's excuses, excuses. It's just what Adam did, blaming Eve in the garden. It's an evidence of sin. And non-believers have a wrong view of God because they are still in their sins. This was a gracious master who entrusted them according to their ability. And he's a good master. He's not a hard one. And notice the master's eternally sobering response. Verse 26, but his master said to him, You wicked, lazy slave. You're wicked for your false accusations in view of me. You are wicked. It is wicked to see God wrongly. You are wicked. Your nature is wickedness. You are in your sins. You lazy slave. And notice he uses his own wording against him to pin him down. He says, you knew that I reap where I didn't sow and gathered no seed. I don't think he's saying he does it. I think he's using his words against him. He's saying, well, if that's the way you think I was, why didn't you put my money in the bank? Now, earlier I said they didn't have bank vaults. What does he mean by that? In those days, they had money changers where you could go to them and you could give them large sums of money and they would loan them out, not to Jews, that was against the law, but to the Gentiles. And they would give you back money with interest. You could have done that. If you thought I was this way, why didn't you do that? You are a wicked and lazy slave. He uses his very own words against him to reveal that he is a wicked and lazy slave. And in like fashion, folks, those who are not about the Lord's business have no genuine concern or desire to serve him, no genuine desire to benefit his kingdom. You see, those other slaves wanted to benefit. They were joyous to benefit their master. You have no desire to do that. Maybe you are a wicked and lazy slave. Maybe you name his name, but you do not know him, and you are up for a sobering wake-up call. You see, there are some who name the name of Christ, and they come to church. You say, Lord, Lord, but yet you don't serve Christ. You don't have a changed heart. You don't even have to know exactly what to do. There's a desire. I want to come and serve the body of Christ. I want to serve them. I want to be around the body of Christ. If you haven't had a changed heart, you don't desire the things of Christ. So many show up for a minute and leave and are gone. Till the next week. Are the things of Christ more important? Is serving Christ above all more important than everything else? And we serve him in many different facets. We serve him in our families. We serve him at our work. We serve him in the body of Christ. Are you about his business? This parable says if you're not, you probably don't know him. You probably don't. It's that clear. If you're not about his business, I would examine yourself to see if you really know Christ. If it's not your wholehearted desire to serve him. Yes, there's a struggle with sin and temptation. Yes, we struggle with that, with our own desires every day. But overriding that, because I have a changed heart, I want to serve Christ. That's what this parable is about. There are lots of people who claim to follow Christ, but one evidence, another evidence, as we see here, is the truly saved are about his business, and they are good and faithful in the little. Some of you are about his business. You're not good and faithful. It manifests you don't care about him. You don't care about his church. You don't care about it. When you care about someone, you love someone, you are faithful to them and what they say. This is what this parable is about. Notice the consequences when one stands before the Lord. Verse 28, therefore take away the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. You see, the Jews, they had a stewardship. They were given God's oracles. They were given, and they failed. They didn't serve the Lord. It's taken away from them, we see. And those who name his name, you receive the benefits of being around the body of Christ. You receive the benefits around being those who know the Lord. But yet, when you stand before him, those benefits will be removed forever when you are taken to your judgment. Therefore, take away the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more shall be given. If you're saved, you're going to be given more because you're really, truly going to be good and faithful. And he shall have an abundance, but from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away. Your moments of sparkles of joy and happiness here and there being around true believers will be taken away from you. Because when Christ comes, you will be seen for what you really are. And the responsibilities you had when you supposedly followed Christ will be taken away because you're not really who you say you are. And notice the final punishment, verse 30, and cast out the worthless slave into outer darkness. You're a worthless slave if you don't know Christ. You have no worth to God if you're in your sins. Worthless. Worthless slave. Here's where it morphs into reality. There was no outer darkness in this parable. This is speaking of hell now. Cast him in outer darkness, in that place where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. What a horrifying surprise. Some of you will stand before the Lord and you will think that he's going to say, well done. He's going to cast you into your punishment. There is a hell, and it's not only fire. It's characterized here by darkness. It's characterized by the fact there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Two eternal destinies, one with great joy and fellowship with the living God, the other torment and weeping and gnashing of teeth. This parable points out that the genuineness of your faith in Christ will be manifest in how you serve Him. It's really that simple. And if your life is not focused on serving Christ, you may not understand it rightly. Get into the Word of God. If your life is not focused on Christ, if it's focused on you and your stuff, I would examine your hearts to see if you really know Him. That's what this parable is about. God is gracious to warn you in advance that some of you may still be in your sins. And that is manifest because you really don't desire the things of Christ. When you're in your sins, you don't desire the things of Christ. But God is gracious. The same Jesus telling this parable within a couple days would allow Himself to be delivered up to bear our sins in His body on the cross, to pay the penalty for all your wickedness and my wickedness, the entire penalty, everything you have ever thought, said, and done, and will do wrong. He took it all upon Himself. And He calls upon you to come to Him, to believe in Him, to trust in Him, to turn from your sinfulness, acknowledge how wicked you are and turn to Christ. I have not wanted to do your things. I've wanted to do my own. I am a sinner, Lord God. Lord Jesus, save me. And He will save you. I pray that you are not a wicked, lazy slave. And if you are, you would be changed through faith in Christ and be a good and faithful servant. Now, some of us believers can allow sin in our lives, can't we? We can start to manifest the way we used to look when we were wicked, lazy slaves. And some of you have done that. It's evidenced by your actions around the body. You are not faithful to Christ because you have more care for your life than the things of Christ. God is gracious to warn you right now and maybe call you to examine yourself. Do I really know Him? I want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful slave. You were faithful in the little. Enter into the joy of your master. Will you enter into the joy of your master? Will God say to you, well done? Examine your life. Lay it across your heart. And if it's not well done, confess it. God forgives you and move forward and be faithful in the little from today on. God is a great God. He forgives you. He forgives you. My desire is for every true believer in here to hear that. Well done, thou good and faithful slave. You were faithful in the little. We've got a lot of little things that God is having us do. You were faithful in the little. Enter into the joy of your master.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. And Greg's message today is from his series in the book of Matthew. And you can hear today's message again by visiting our website. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all of our audio resources are available at no cost to you. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org.
Friend, before we close today's broadcast, I want to talk to you directly about your eternal destiny. If you were to die right now, do you know where you would spend eternity? If you're unsure, here are some important questions to answer. Do you believe that you are a sinner in need of forgiveness, that you've sinned against a holy God? Do you believe that you are unable to do anything about your sinful condition? Do you believe that Jesus is God, that He took on human flesh, that He came and lived the sinless life and went to the cross and died for your sins? He was buried and rose from the dead 3 days later. Do you believe that His work on the cross was sufficient to forgive you of your sins? Are you willing to acknowledge that until you repent of your sins and turn to the Lord Jesus to save you, that you deserve hell and will be sent there? If you believe these things and want to receive Jesus' offer of eternal salvation, then you need to turn to Him and ask Him. Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Father, I thank you so much for your word and your son Jesus. And I pray for those listening today who do not know you, who still are in their sins, that they would turn from their sin and trust in your son Jesus Christ for salvation, that they would be saved. Father, we thank you for your word and we thank you for your son. And it is in his name we pray.
If you've taken that eternally important step, we'd love to come alongside you in your new relationship with Christ. So would you take a moment and contact us? We'd like to send you our new believers packet. In that packet, you'll find a message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt, some helpful Bible study tools, and a Bible. It's our gift to you to help you in your new relationship with Christ. You can request your new believers packet online at etsradio.org, or if you prefer, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And from all of us at Equipping the Saints, welcome to the family.